preacher.
And it seems nobody's interested in learning but the teacher.
Well, will the church say amen?
Amen.
And boom shakalaka. Welcome to the ninth edition of Uncle Bobby's Country Corner, where real men don't play and we can't afford to get sick. The theme for our show today is your health matters, but only if you know why it's up to you to take care of yourself first and foremost. Because there's been a series of events that you can't avoid even if you try to. And they're calling it healthcare reform. And they are reforming it to the extent where it's liable to be a rash of sad singing and flower bringing. Because there's going to be some people dropping out of here because they cannot go to see no doctor. And the hospitals have already told them, look, move that ambulance from out in front of here because we don't take that kind of patient anymore. So this whole show is about models of possibility and best practices. To my immediate left, I've got my cousin and my co-host, Cousin Vic. How you doing today, V?
Pretty good, man. As you were doing your little intro, I was thinking about going back to school and becoming a mortician. Because I can make big money now.
Ooh-wee, man. The joint's going to be jumping, man. I'm telling you, man.
Yeah.
But there is hope and there is alternatives to settling for this madness. And we're going to delve into that after we have a few words from a madman.
Before we get into the Trump Care and Ryan Care taxation program under the guise of health care, I have a few breaking news. The first one is, in support of Geert Wilders, the anti-immigration demagogue who is campaigning to become the next Dutch prime minister, Congressman Steve King blurted these words, and I quote, "I praise Geert Wilders as one who understands that culture and demographics are our destiny. We cannot restore our civilization with somebody else's babies." We're going to let that go today because Bobby and I are already riled up by some language that was said to us in our neighborhood tonight.
Boy. We're going to do a whole show about urban renewal means Negro removal.
The next breaking news is that all of a sudden, derogatory information has been posted on Breitbart about Paul Ryan's comments during the campaign about asking Republicans running for office to do what they need to do to disassociate themselves with Donald Trump because he's not going to support him. Is this Steve Bannon making his move on Paul Ryan to diminish his voice with Donald Trump?
Not really, because he don't have to do that. They've already had that meeting. Donald Trump has proven over the years that if you don't ride with him, you're riding against him. And so they've got almost a temporary ceasefire.
Sure.
But you saw what he did to, what's the guy's name from Utah that was very hard on him, and he was talking about he was going to bring him in, and he brought him to Trump Tower.
Oh, just Mitt Romney. Romney.
The man's got that kind of memory, man. So Ryan is a suspect. It's only Beauregard Sessions and people like that. The ride or die guys don't have anything to worry about. Yeah. The rest of these guys that are riding the fence, they're going to constantly get poked and prodded because they don't trust them.
Sure.
This is a Bannon and Trump thing, and they've got Kellyanne Conway spinning the yarn.
Well, Kellyanne comes out to act a fool and just spew all kind of ridiculous stuff. And then they got Sean Spicer now making a fool of himself. And basically it just gets worse and worse and worse. And America's still buying it because his population is still pretty high with his followers. And that basically is what they've done with this whole electoral college election. Another thing about y'all's president, Donald Trump, who said, "I will not take a salary when I'm elected. I will not take a salary." Now it appears that he's going to take that $450,000 a year salary, donate it to charity, which will give him a $158,000 tax deduction.
Well, of course, because the tax deductions favor the people who got money to tax. But more importantly, Vic, I can't let you get away with just lumping in on the Republicans, because we really have to thank the feckless Democratic Party for this mess.
Sure.
They should have never put Crooked Hillary in a position to lose yet. This is the second race she done lost in a row to long shots.
Big race.
Now, she lost to Obama before we even knew how to spell his name.
Right.
How do you lose to that candidate? Then you come back and you can't beat a guy who's known for ruining businesses and people's lives, and you can't beat him?
Conniving, jiving, thievery at its best.
Man, look here, man. The Democrats need to shut it down. It's time for people that are not satisfied with either party to become reinvigorated with the political process from the position of self-enlightenment. In other words, in this city, last Tuesday, we elected in Los Angeles, we meaning the person that lives in Los Angeles like I do. I didn't vote, but it didn't make any difference because 90% of the people in the city didn't vote. And the mayor, Gil Garcetti, it was elected with less than 300,000 votes in a city of over 20 million people. How does that happen? It happens because of redundancy. Over the last 30 years, they made it more difficult. We're the only nation where we've stuck with an election cycle where you vote on a day in the middle of the week.
Yes.
Okay. Now they've restricted absentee voting and all of the things. You should be able to vote anytime you get ready if they really wanted participation.
Well,
so people, get ready because there's a train that's coming and it's to remove you from the process.
And basically that's what they've decided to do with this whole Trump stating that he was going to support health care, Medicare, and Medicaid, and it would be un-Republican for anyone not to do so. Now we have this, and this is where we're going to get into the conversation about this tax plan that they're disguising as health care that will decimate 50% of this society to the point where they cannot have health care, and all of these people who voted for him are going to be the ones who are most harmed.
Well, they need to call it what it is. It's not health insurance. It's sick insurance. And they hedge their bets by putting enough impediments into the fine print that you don't know the coverage you thought you had doesn't really exist. Because once you get that print out and then they do that calculation, a lot of people got 80-20. People think they got 90-10. And they spent one day too many in that hospital, hooked up to too many different machines, and ended up with a bill personally for over $100,000, which immediately ruins your credit and imperils everything that you have worked your entire life to have. So this is really, I think, a precursor to the real revolution, because at some point, it's going to hit enough people in the pocketbook.
Sure.
All right. The state of West Virginia, for example, solidly voted for Donald Trump for president. And now they're finding out that many of those people went on and reluctantly signed up for Obamacare because it was the first time they ever had insurance in their life and had every pre-existing condition possible because of being poor, bad diet, working in the coal mine, all these things
just
accumulated. Now you're 60 years old, uninsurable otherwise, and now you had insurance. And now you screaming because the premium went up. You haven't seen anything yet. And we're going to really get into that in just a moment.
But one of the other serious issues, too, about just typically getting to the Virginia situation, not only are those people very ill, they are becoming aged. They're getting older. And basically this plan that they've implemented is going to have such a drastic effect on seniors 60 and over that I don't think anybody can recover from that. And, you know, in essence, what has happened is part of this plan, and Paul Ryan is in my view, first of all, let me digress. What frustrates me and always has frustrated me since Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act was passed into law was this. I do not think that it was possible for citizens of this country who pay taxes while watching our politicians waste our money on everything but us, how we could allow somebody to convince us that health care was not a good thing for us. I don't understand that.
Well, it's pretty easy, Vic. And then after I say this, we're going to add an expert on health-related issues. I'm surprised so many people have ignored over the many, many years through Republican and Democratic administration the fact that being a politician enables you to have unlimited health care coverage, a pension for the rest of your life if you serve only one term, and all the perks that come with being a quote-unquote government official. So it's just really fascinating to me that the people who are going to decide what kind of coverage we get don't have those kind of issues, sure. You know. And in that regard, I'm going to segue into a phone call from Nashville, Tennessee, from a young man who is hopefully in possession of some answers to the question of how bad is this going to hurt the average American?
You're laughing already.
Oh, my goodness.
Because if you got the answers, man, you're getting ready to get a pot of money, brother.
Who are we talking to, Bobby?
We're talking to Corey Carney out of Nashville, Tennessee.
Homeboy.
That's right. Family. Man, how you doing, Corey?
Man, I'm doing great. And that introduction, I think that's above my pay grade.
Well, you ain't got no pay grade, man. You are sitting in the Catbird sitting right now, man, because folks are going to be calling you. Matter of fact, give them your number right now, man.
I tell you what, the best way to get in touch with us about anything healthcare that we do and that we can help with is going to our website, www.campusrxnow.com.
Campus?
C-A-M.
Yeah, spell it out, man.
C-A-M-P-U-S-R-X as an x-ray, now, N-O-W.com.
Man, you got to have bags under your eyes, man, because this thing broke so fast and so hard that people who are in the health services industry are scrambling, trying to get their minds around what are the implications of health care reform 2017. Yeah.
You're exactly right. The sad part about it is, I think the reality of, you know, this could happen to you, or that the election does matter, or policy does matter, regardless of whatever your political views are, some of them are about to change when it really goes to affect your bottom line, your health care, your life, what you can do. I mean, it's a big problem. And now it's Trump's problem. You know, he ran for president and he won. But now is the time to deal with the real issues that he'll soon find out, or he's already found out. There's no real easy answer to. And a lot of people are going to be affected. This is the reality
here today. So, Corey, I know that you specialize in group plans. Is there an immediate impact to the services you offer within the realm of health insurance coverage?
Yeah, I mean, it's what we do about, and I'm glad you asked, and I appreciate this opportunity to come on and talk to your audience, because we spend a lot of time educating and just informing about what we can do, what we can't do, what someone can do in the realm of health insurance, and things that are available outside of the realm of health insurance. And that's really what we're focused on today. It's not an easy fix, and it's not a fix for everyone, but we can address some of these issues for the simpler things, for things that are more routine, not the serious health issues, but access to doctors and care, so you're not stuck with a $1,500 emergency room bill when you didn't have an emergency. You had an ear infection or your child had an ear infection. We want those types of visits and those types of issues to be handled in a much more cost-effective way by accessing, being your own health advocate and talking to someone, talking to a board-certified physician who's trained to handle these things, these types of issues, probably more effectively than any other type, but especially the type of doctors that they were talking to. And it just keeps the cost down for things that are not emergencies and keep people more productive in their day, not missing work, not scheduling an appointment, and getting these huge bills for things that could have been avoided. And it's the long game with these types of bills that I'm talking about. It's not anything that will affect you immediately. You know, front up an emergency room bill because you had a ear infection or a pink eye or flu or sinus infection. It's not going to affect you tomorrow. You know, you'll get the bill. You may or may not pay it, but it's out there and it lingers. And unless you address it and make a deal with the hospital or make a deal with whatever entity is charging you, it's going to hang out there. Then it goes up to collections. And then at the time where you don't need it out there the most, you want to go buy a house, or when you need some credit, it affects you at that point. So then you got to go and make a deal with them. You have to pay at the end, or you have to pay extra interest rates on things that you might want from a credit standpoint. So it's relatively simple what we're dealing with, but it's access to different services, discounts on different services, imaging, MRIs, CAT scans, and that kind of thing. We give discounts on those types of services and second opinions. You know, you may not need a certain thing, but just access to be able to talk to a doctor when he's not rushed, when he or she is not rushed, and just trying to see the people, because they've got a whole entirely different problem from the doctor's standpoint, from the physician standpoint. And this whole insurance piece is a complicated mess right now. So I'm somewhat relieved that our product and our company is not intertwined into insurance. It's everything outside of insurance, and you know what we can do, but what we can't do. So our product's not going to help you if you need a surgery or a hospital stay or something to that effect. But something is better than nothing, in my opinion, and it can be quite effective as far as information, preventive services, discounts on dental, you know, being able to use our access, Aetna Access Network of doctors, even if you don't have dental insurance, to be able to get that discount just because you're a member of Campus RX.
Okay, so, now that we've established one of the alternative measures, let's look at the big picture. In Tennessee, they call it 10 care. From your vantage point, what will the health care reform of 2017 do to the possibilities of having some coverage for people who are practically broke or indigent?
That's a great question, and I've not dug into the bill enough to know how that will affect Medicaid, 10 care in Tennessee. If you do qualify for 10 care, it's pretty nice. You know, you can go to the doctors. You don't have a copay. You can go to the hospital, and that's really where we see the stress on emergency rooms and area hospitals. Is we've got lots of citizens on 10 care, and once you have 10 care, you can go into the emergency room and get served and not accumulate that high bill. So what we see a lot of runny noses and long wait times in emergency rooms. And those are not really emergencies. But
just sick people.
Just sick people, mm-hmm. Yeah. But it may not be a life or death situation. And the more imminent or the more severe emergencies can go, I mean, there's still long wait times. They're going to get through it by priority. But that's the
issue.
I don't know how the new deal affects Medicaid.
But Corey, this is Victor. Under this new potential Ryan Care or Trump Care plan, isn't 10 care going away?
I don't know.
I know in Kentucky, one of the you know, with Kentucky had Connect, KYNECT, and basically those people didn't even know that it was Obamacare, and now they're all up in arms because it's about ready going away. And I just thought that based on what we're finding is that all of these health care programs, regardless, are going to go away.
Well, it's going to be good for your tax business, family, because they're going to have some new tax incentives and tax credits for folks that can afford these exorbitant rates for insurance. So you just had to put your other hat on. It may appear to be the case if things go the way they're going. And I guess what you really need to do is go and take some notes tomorrow night, because from what I understand, the Donald is going to be in town tomorrow. He's going to be in Nashville tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the news. We will be here, on a campaign rally type of event, and he'll be talking about the health plan, from my understanding. So,
Well, Corey,
are you coming with him?
No, I ain't gonna come with him, man. I'm waiting on the transportation bill, man. You know, I'm gonna ride that train because he's gonna spend some of my money over there. Because see, I'm trying not to get sick. All right, and one of the things that I want to pose to you from an entrepreneur standpoint, because you have always had that vent, is to expand Campus RX to include the possibility of constructing within that framework that you have a wellness co-op, wherein you have access to all of these doctors, and off the grid, they can come together in a collaboration and in exchange for a couple of dozen eggs or a good fade or something, you know, you do a, you know, a MRI.
A barter system.
Yeah, man, because
old school.
We're going to have to get really creative, man, in this environment, because all this complaining and stuff, they really don't care right now, because they do have the numbers. It's just a matter of how this bill is ultimately going to look, because there will be radical changes. The CBO came out with a report saying that over the next 10 years, 24 million people are going to drop off the rolls. And the insurance companies, as you well know, they're going to calculate everything on existing profitability rates. So we're going to have to come up with a new paradigm in order to offset the radical changes in healthcare in the United States, in my opinion.
I think you're exactly right. And I think when the Democrat created came up with the Affordable Care Act and got it passed, I truly believe that was a push toward a single-payer system. I think that the problem with the bill that we see today was something that they knew would happen or could forecast that would happen, but they didn't forecast that that this would happen and it'd be repealed and go the other way. I think that it was going to be more so, more to the left, more universal health care coverage. And I'm, you know, to be honest, I'm a believer in that. I think that health care should be a right of the people, just like safe drinking water and highway system.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it all should be that way. But I'm not an expert on the cost and the intricacies of how that could work. But right now we're in a, we backed up from that and went the other way. And the ramifications for that, I don't even know of yet. So,
Corey, if they can reallocate our tax revenue, our income tax revenue, to give $54 billion to a military that doesn't want the money, or a military that probably needs refurbishing but modernized, you can give that money to. I'm in agreement with you. Healthcare in the United States of America should be universal, because if you look at what they're doing with our tax dollars, it doesn't make sense not to at least have a universal healthcare plan.
Right.
Well, look, Corey, we're going to have to go to break right now, man, but go by there and take some pictures, and if you see some people look like us out there, get their card, because they know something we don't know. I'm serious, man, because we ain't getting all of the news, man. I'm telling you, man, it's got to, somebody's getting ready to get fat rich off of this thing, man. And once again, we're going to be on the outside looking in. It's always good hearing from you. So your website, one more time, for people that are looking for gaps, you know, to be able to cover some of their gaps in the existing coverage. If they don't have no coverage and they're constantly dealing with the kinds of issues that you mentioned earlier in your presentation.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and I appreciate it. Check out our website, campusrxnow.com. Our basic plan is the family plan. It covers everyone in the family for $15 a month, and it's no consultation fee whenever you have to access it, and it really doesn't matter how many times you have to access it, and we're proud of that. It's truly a plan that you can get some help for basic ailments. And it's virtual. It's like they're on a FaceTime visit or a Skype visit. But they've gotten pretty good on technology these days, and you'd be amazed. Use it once, you wouldn't want to be.
Well, you might want to consider adding Boo Boo Pearl to the number of medical practitioners that y'all have on your roster, man, because we're going to need some voodoo and some roots and all kinds of stuff.
Some herbologists.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, we're going to need a whole lot of people, Corey.
I appreciate it. We always looking for a
good fan,
so
yeah. All right, man. All right, stay black till I get back, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Y'all have a good night.
All right.
Okay. We're going to take a short pause for the calls. We'll be right back.
You knew they would.
Got cold.
It's too cold, too cold. You got to go home and face the music. It don't sound too good. It's a real motherfucker. It make you want to run for cover. And if you look, you will discover somebody been bamboozled and hoodwinked. The number to call in tonight, because we wanted to pare this thing down and give some of the people who have been loyal listeners a chance to chime in, is 323-293-3375. We'd love to hear from you. And Victor, as we, you know, kind of dig into this healthcare fiasco, what are some of the angles or some of the things that people need to be aware of? And possibly at the end of the show, we're going to look at some of the things that we can begin to do to offset the attack on the poor and the used to be middle class.
Right, right. Well, we're the disenfranchised and the middle class is going to take a beating, because basically Paul Ryan's main claim to fame really is to dismantle Medicaid and Medicare. 2017 is an interesting year, because this is the first year where Medicare is actually paying out as much as it's taking in. So this is going to be a critical issue, and this may end up being a selling point for the ISIS in suits people I call Republicans. Mm. So basically, this is where we're going, and I want to just riff a little bit on Medicaid, because it's the state-sponsored health care system for the residents of each state that, with the federal funding that Paul Ryan now is trying to change into block grants, which is susceptible to government budgets, sequestration. In other words, if they give you a block grant, they can take it saying that the budget is not right by giving you this money. So one of the things that, a few of the things that I really want to discuss about the importance of Medicaid. Number one, Medicaid covers children. So all the children, disabled children or children in general in each state is covered by Medicaid. Number two, all low-income families in each state are covered by Medicaid. Now, this is from a health insurance standpoint. People with disabilities are going to suffer when they cut Medicaid. Seniors in long-term care are going to suffer with Medicaid.
Now, they're going to have to leave that long-term care end up on somebody's couch.
There you go. So now you're putting the burden back on the people who already are struggling, and now they're going to put the long-term care of their parents or somebody on them. And here's the most interesting statistic that I could find, and it just blew my mind. And I'm going to read it twice, because you all need to understand this. 50% of all the babies born in the United States of America is covered by Medicaid.
50%.
50% of all the babies born in the United States of America are covered by Medicaid to guarantee that these children are born healthy and cared for. That is what will be taken away, because what's going to happen they're going to nip at it. Once the Medicaid budget is reduced to each state, these states are going to have to make decisions on who they care for. So when you start, some states are getting $350 million in subsidies from Obamacare. That's gone.
You know, if I may just inject something.
Go ahead.
I'm going to just blend in.
Sure. We roll
it. You're saying 50%. Of the babies.
Born in the United States of America.
Okay. And then they put them on powdered milk and all that they make available to somebody who gets a fat contract to do that.
Sure.
And so by the time they three or four, they got asthma and other mucus-related health issues.
Sure.
And then by the time they get in the first grade, they ADD because they can't sit still, so they get them started on that Ritalin. And that all comes out of that same pot of money,
right? Comes out of that same pot of money.
When are we going to wake up and realize that, all right, we do want the child to be birthed properly, but when are we going to start addressing the root causes of what has that child by the time he's 10 or 12 years old? He's diabetic, can't be still, and turns into very quickly a menace to society. Why are we having that part of the conversation?
Because basically they don't want health care to do what health care is supposed to do. That's why we need universal health care. And I think Obamacare was on the right track because they started rewarding physicians for preemptive care, trying to get physicians to talk to people about living right, doing some of the right things, and counseling their patients instead of popping pills, which we can have a whole nother show on about this opiate addiction that used to be a crime in the black community, but now it's an addiction, so everybody gets medicine for it. Mm-hmm. So we're going to stick to this. And I consider it a tax plan because in addition to cutting these services to the American public, they're going to give tax breaks to the rich, which is probably going to end up being around $337 million. And now you're taking away Medicaid, and now Ryan wants to also go after Medicare. And so this is the problem that – this is just a minute problem that this whole tax plan, I call it, is going to have, because now, for instance, in Kentucky, Obamacare created jobs, insured people, created a $40 million a year enterprise in the state of Kentucky. That's what Obamacare did for Kentucky, right in Mitch McConnell's backyard. Mm. Okay, Mitch McConnell and Rand Paul's backyard. Mm-hmm. So technically speaking, they don't want to talk about that because their main objective is to cut Obamacare. Now they're fighting because the far right wants you to get rid of it all totally. And now you've got some of these Republicans who have bought into the Obamacare plan with subsidies to each state. They're saying, hold on a minute. This may affect my election possibility. So now it's about, you know, you and I kid each other all the time because we've always said to each other, if you want to find out the truth, you got to follow the money.
Now, you mentioned that appropriation. What were those funds used for? You mentioned $40 million windfall. What was the disbursement of that money?
Oh, the disbursement of that money was generated, GDP generated, to the nurses' aides that they were supposed to that got hired, that Obamacare paid for. Mm-hmm. You know, just the standard of living. You got more doctors, you got more nurses, you got more nurses' aides. You took pressure off the emergency rooms. I told a story in one of my posts about a friend of mine that I took to the emergency room at 10 o'clock on one morning. She couldn't get out until 2 a.m. the next morning. And basically that emergency room, when I went in there, had maybe 80 people in that emergency room, and you had a couple of residents walking around, and it's an ugly thing. They walked around and with a clipboard categorized who needed treatment the most. And so if you wasn't screaming and hollering or going crazy on the floor, you had to sit down and wait your turn. So basically what happened in Kentucky was it created a whole nother business in that state.
Supporting sickness.
Okay. And then what you ended up doing was you had the taxes from those incomes, you know, so you generated revenue for the state.
Now, that brings up another question I want to raise, not necessarily to you, but you're the only one sitting in here. and again, the number is 323-293-3375. One of the things that has been added to the coverage component is stuff like Cialis and Viagra and Niagara and all that kind of stuff. My question is, how do we get to a point where you could approve something that you wouldn't need if you wasn't sick, but you can't get an appropriation for herbal treatments?
That is the lobby, the pharmaceutical lobbyists who are paying these politicians billions of dollars to keep their drugs in your face. That's all it is. And one of the things that, again, we're talking about health care, part of this whole process is they're going to cut Medicaid, They're going to cut Planned Parenthood. So all of the see, here's what happens. And you and I are from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and we wanted to go back. We wanted to get a degree from Harry Medical College because back in our day, that was the only college accepting black people who wanted to be doctors. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to go to Harry Medical College and go back to Murfreesboro just to be a primary physician, you know, in our hometown. Well, when they cut this health care plan, all of these rural clinics are going to have to close because there's no funding for them. And in all those rural clinics, you're going to find that those are the people who voted for Donald Trump. And an interesting, I'm your statistics guy. Here's what happens. There are 1,500 counties that voted for Donald Trump. Of those 1,500 counties, all of them are going to be in the red when it comes to health care. They're going to lose health care. And basically, it's going to, and particularly for seniors, all of these seniors who voted for Donald Trump thinking that, well, he's crazy, you know, he's crazy about immigration, he's telling lies, he's not telling the truth to anybody. He's got Kellyanne Conley out there just blowing up the screen with fake. Now she's talking about being wiretapped by your microwave and your TV. So they've got all of this spin going on. But these people voted for Donald Trump. Now, I have another question for you. Why do you think these people in America would vote for something that is so detrimental to their health for a man who is a crook, a thief, a bigot, a misogynist, and all things negative about human existence? Why would they vote for him knowing that it was going to have a negative effect on their health care?
Because he was running against a crook. and that stain don't go away. And so the larger issue is, when are we as Americans going to exercise the inalienable right to establish policies that are in our best interest as opposed to the people that we have foolishly elected, who get in office and basically hunker down and realize, you know what, this is a beautiful gravy train right here. I ain't got to worry about the problems these people that elected me have to worry about. They don't have to worry about that. Remember years ago when we found out they had their own bank in Congress? They were bouncing checks and everything. All the stuff that we can't do, politicians get to do on a routine basis. So one of the things I wanted to deal with today in terms of what do we do is begin to understand what is within our grasp. Who is to say that we can't start medical co-ops? Because, for example, there's a push now on the federal level to begin to repopulate the prisons by distinguishing between legal marijuana stores and illegal marijuana stores, because you can grow weed anywhere you got a pot. You know, you can grow some marijuana. And a lot of people are dealing with illnesses that would be better treated with marijuana.
Oh, no doubt.
We really have to begin to understand the real cost of caring for somebody who has gotten sick. Sure. If people understood, you could actually get a room and stay in the Ritz-Carlton for a month cheaper than you could going into a hospital.
Sure.
And all you got is a bed and a television, but they charging you for everything in that room.
Sure.
On a running scale. Oh. Okay, that roll of toilet tissue that you could have got at the store for 99 cents, that was $10. And they replaced it every day. So they took that other roll and, you know, just got... They itemize everything in the hospital. So when you break down the cost, there is no way that is sustainable over time. It's impossible. And then when you look at the fact that when you get out of the hospital, you are now on this wheel where you're going back and forth to the doctor, and practically every time you go to the doctor, you leave out of there with what? a prescription
sure.
for a drug that if you look at the contents of it, you can't spell any of them. That's a clue right there.
Sure.
What is that stuff? Would you drink it or would you otherwise consume it but for the treatment it's attached to?
Well, basically, Bobby, what is beginning, what is never talked about realistically is that the opiates that people are becoming addicted to today is nothing but heroin. Everything is a derivative
mm-hmm.
of heroin. Mm-hmm. It's all a derivative of heroin. So what really kind of freaks me out, again, I'm a frustrated brother because I see the inequity in all of this, is that when they were putting black people in jail for doing heroin, now it's an addiction and the states are begging for help. One governor, I think it's the governor of Maine, is terrified that he's going to lose Obamacare because basically he says he doesn't have the money to treat all the addicted people
on heroin. Yeah.
The junkies on
mm-hmm.
heroin.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole tax plan, because basically it's a tax plan, number one, to eliminate Medicare and Medicaid, and number two, to provide more wealth for the rich and the people that support these politicians. And they're going to take a basic necessity because they're making us sick. Remember when we were talking about pesticides when it created the growth of the organic mm-hmm. Fruit and vegetable industry? Well, they made us sick. Now they don't want to take care of us. See, and like I talked to somebody today, and he told me, he says, well, I try to live right now, but what I did back in the day may catch up with me sooner or later. And that may be all of us because—
Well, what you did then, you're still doing. You're going to the doctor.
Sure.
And he got something for you that you're going to carry with you to the grave. Because what's interesting about what I want to spend the next few minutes talking about is, what are some possible alternatives? And we have every right at this stage to think completely out of the box.
But to finance the co-op that you think you want to, now you may be able to do that if you get millions of people to buy into it, because that's the only way you're going to afford it.
Well, here's how we do that. We do that with the barbershop approach, the church approach. We have to go back through the portals that are still within our grasp, all right, and give people an alternative and at least give them the opportunity to see that, look, you tried it with the Democrats. It fell through because it was all still predicated on an existing system that was controlled by the insurance company. The doctors got eliminated from the discussion when it became a business.
Sure.
All right. They took an oath, and most doctors, it was a noble profession because you had general practitioners. Now everybody's a specialist because you get into a specialty to do what? Increase and maximize the opportunity to make money. Most doctors come out of, unless they're very wealthy and come from families where there's a history of doctors, you got all that debt.
Sure.
And then you got to deal with the overhead, you know, your malpractice insurance, all that. So it's very few general practitioners anymore. And that's where you really stem the tide of what has become an explosion of diseases,
sure.
All right? Because the incentive is not in curing you. A one and done will send you into a panic if you're a doctor, if your room is not full around the clock. Because how much time do you actually see a doctor? It's over in less than 15 minutes.
Oh, sure, sure.
And some places you don't see the doctor at all.
Oh, no. One of the funny stories that happened to me was that I had back surgery, and basically I never even saw the surgeon because I was knocked out when he walked in the room, and I saw him for the first time 6 weeks after I went back for my checkup after surgery. So you never see him anymore, and that's a major, major problem. But it has become so costly that they are now trying to save every penny that they can on coverage and health care, the actual application of health care. And I ask this question all the time. Why doesn't these drugs that they give us ever cure anything? It cures nothing. It just keeps us on a schedule, taking them every day, And basically, you're feeding the pharmaceutical companies and the doctors who look at you every 3 or 4 months and say, oh, you're doing okay, keep taking your drugs.
Now, if you have a problem, let me know what that is, because I got some in this bag for you that'll address that. Now, it's going to shut your kidneys down,
yeah.
All right? You're going to start bleeding from everywhere. But I got something for you. We'll do that, you know. Man, they're gonna cut and burn.
And you may commit
and
suicide.
And dope you to death. I mean, it's
just... Strap your wife in a sleep.
I can't believe these... If you watch any of the major networks and sporting events, it's only two commercials they run. A beer commercial, they don't run them too much anymore. They don't allow them to run them for some reason.
Sure, sure.
That would be better than that dope they sell in these other commercials, these pharmaceutical commercials.
Sure, sure.
But the thing that I find very interesting is the other big winner in this climate that we're in right now are the lawyers. Because after they kill enough people with this experimental medicine that you're getting, they say, well, did you take Lyrica and committed suicide or lost, a limb or something like that, call the law offices of such and such, and you can become a part of this class action lawsuit.
Sure.
I see them commercials run all day, practically every day.
But see, the issue, too, is that in this health care bill, malpractice lawsuits will be addressed, which is going to make it even more difficult to sue a doctor for erroneous practices.
Mm-hmm.
So you got all of this, you know, healthcare initiative that is totally, totally going to devastate our system of health as we know it.
Good. I'm excited about that, and I'll tell you why. It's going to force us into alternatives.
That's my wife's platform.
I mean, you know, it's just the reality of it,
yeah.
Man. I mean, we became so complacent and apathetic that we figured somebody else was going to work this out.
Sure.
But now we're faced with the reality that if it's going to get any better, I'm going to have to put some skin in the game.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm back to when they break down giving all this money back to the states. That's when, wherever you live, you have an opportunity to start asking some very serious questions. How y'all going to spend this money?
Sure.
All right, because if you're going to spend it by giving people tax credits and all of that, then what you're doing basically is saying, look, you don't have any coverage.
Yeah.
And the coverage you got is not designed to make you well. We have to fight for true deregulation. You know, they always talk about deregulating the banks and,
sure, sure.
And removing the impediments to free enterprise. That should include the opportunity, if you want to go see an herbologist, that should be under the little bit of coverage that you have.
Sure.
Because there's a good chance what he's giving you is designed to make you well, as opposed to having you manage being sick the rest of your life.
But see, the lobbyists for Aetna, New York Life, State Farm, and all these companies that offer health care, who do nothing but process paper. They don't touch you. They don't see you. They don't do anything. You pay that bill to them every month. And basically what they do is push paperwork that says to the doctor, you can see this person because we're going to cover part of their health care. Those are the ones who are driving up the costs. And now in some states where they're not making any money, they're leaving. And the Republicans are using this as a talking point, says, oh, yeah, Obamacare is so bad that healthcare companies are leaving the state because they can't, you know, they can't, the people can't qualify the deductibles of about 10 grand and everything else. But I thought that, you may correct me if I'm wrong. I thought the Democrats had a plan that was based on Hillary Clinton getting elected, which meant that even though it was going to be difficult because you still might have had a majority in Congress, in the House, what they thought they were going to do was pass Obamacare and bring in that single-payer option.
That never was in the mix because they didn't have the guts to do that.
Well, that's the problem.
And that's why it was a clusterfuck from the beginning. And I say that honestly, man, because it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out if you're looking at an actuarial approach to risk management,
yeah,
then you got to have everybody, or sure. somebody is going to have to pay disproportionately.
Sure, sure.
And the people who are wealthy enough to be in a position to hire lobbyists and whatnot said, look, these poor people ain't going to never get together and protect their interests. So what we're going to do is continue to weigh the scales sure. in our favor, and they're going to just die off.
Sure.
And that's where we are right now. Poor people, I don't care what color you are, you no longer have the luxury of sitting out this issue. You have to understand that we have to redesign while we have this opportunity, the presupposition that health care is health care.
Sure.
When in fact it's not, it's sick care, because there is no incentive for anybody to give you a policy where they would actually lower the premium if you do certain things you need to do to stay out of the hospital. At some point, they're going to have to revolutionize the whole concept to the point where you take such good care of yourself, all you really need is catastrophic coverage, like if you're in a car accident or mm-hmm. you have some other injury sure. other than you just got diabetic because you ate yourself to death. And, you know, all of the self-inflicted things that we have been encouraged to do by living these very unhealthy lifestyles.
I think one of the things that, I think the word that you were looking for was supersize.
Man, I'm telling you, man, everybody look like a butterball turkey now, man.
Now we're talking about allowing these kids to sit in these classrooms there every day, eating all this junk food and not getting any exercise and what have you. So the program with healthcare is that it's going to obliterate all of that, because basically what they're saying, and what is the most ridiculously evil thing, lie that these Republicans are telling, Tom Price, the head of Health and Human Services, Paul Ryan, both, says this: we want to eliminate Obamacare and put the health care, individual health care, back into the hands of the people so that they can pick and choose and buy the health care plan that they want. My question is, wasn't the reason why Obamacare was developed and implemented was because nobody could afford health care? So how are you going to afford health care by your health care plan? You know what they're going to do? I'm going to go to Uncle Bobby's insurance company and say, okay, I got $200 for health care. What is that going to cover?
It's going to cover not even an ambulance, but a pickup truck coming to get your decomposing body when you get on out of here and go somewhere and die.
From that barn in rural America where you're going to die.
Well, see, here's the interesting thing as we begin to wind up today's show. I'm imploring everybody that hears this show to take into consideration all of this stuff is happening in your lifetime. Everybody has 24 hours in a day. And if you choose to continue thinking there's nothing that you can do, you're absolutely right. But if you think this is just going to miraculously disappear and that things are going to get better, irregardless, because I know a lot of people look at this along partisan lines, Democrats and Republicans. This is way past that, because the Republicans and the Democrats have the same issues. They're not our issues. They have complete health care coverage. They are not incentivized to make our lives better. They spend most of their time raising money to get reelected. So you have to begin to, wherever you are right now, start asking, what's in it for me? And then govern yourself accordingly in terms of understanding that they're doing that with your money. They're making decisions that will affect not only how you live, but how long you live and how well you live with this fiasco and this stage production that's playing out in front of us right now, because none of the things that they're talking about right now are the real issues. The real issue is, why are so many people getting sick in all age demographics? Matter of fact, the more money you got, the more likely you are to get sick, because the doctors have told you, man, come in here on a regular basis. Are you having a problem with that hip? Let me replace it. Instead of trying to regenerate what is going wrong internally that causes all of these problems, man. Because
sure.
You look around the world, we are no longer in the top 25 nations in terms of longevity.
No.
And it ain't about money. These are people that are not subjecting themselves to the invasions into their bodies of the substances that we are being that are being thrust upon us on a daily basis. So as I defer to Vic to close out the show tonight, I want you to understand one thing. If you continue to sit this one out, whatever you do, no matter what income bracket you in, they got a sickness that'll wipe you out. So you better not get sick. Let's talk about this in greater detail once we come up with some alternatives to this foolishness that they are throwing in front of us on a daily basis right now. Because nobody's talking about root causes of illness. And that's what we really need to be focusing on. What's making everybody sick?
And to close out the show, I'd like to give you one little bit of information that is quite interesting. The Congressional Budget Office basically put out its report, and it has a lot of the details that we discussed today. But I want to leave you with this one very, very critical detail that pretty much explains exactly what's getting ready to happen. And I quote, "Here's how the change would affect low-income 64-year-olds, according to the CBO. Under Obamacare, they pay about $1,700 a year for coverage. Under the new GOP Trump-Ryan plan, they will pay $14,600 per year for three-fourths, for a policy that is three-fourths as good."
They ain't gonna get no insurance.
$1,700 a year versus $14,000, people. This is what the new GOP plan is getting ready to do to your health care.
Now, again, we're not going to end on that note because it ain't the GOP. This is sponsored by both parties. The ineptitude of the Democrats created this mess, and all the GOP did was capitalize on the gaps, man. So whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, you better ask yourself, do you have the same coverage they do? Because there's no distinction between a Democrat and Republican when it comes to their coverage. It's only when it comes to us, the average American citizen, we end up paying the bill. I want to say thank you to OG Porters for once again allowing me to come up in here and do what I do. And I want y'all to know, earlier today I met for the first time the brother who's owned this building since 1986. And don't let anybody tell you that we cannot help each other along the way. So thank you for letting me be myself. We'll see you next week.
Out.